we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my privilege to spend the next 30 minutes with you, whether you are traveling in the car, at work, or just at home listening. We thank you for making time for God and His Word in your day. We want to get you started off on the right note. And I really wish that I had mentioned yesterday on the program to encourage people to tune in to this. Chapter 30 of Isaiah has a lot of things that are very appropriate for America and the issues that we are dealing with currently. And so if you are blessed by this program, I want to encourage you. It rebroadcasts at 10:30 on 1510 AM, WWBC. It will rebroadcast tonight at 5 o'clock here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And so if you know somebody that it might benefit to listen to this program, encourage them to tune it in. You can also go to the radio station's website, click on the Refresh Radio program. It'll probably be available on the website. I would think it's tomorrow. And so you can avail yourself of that. I want to take just a moment and say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. You know, the people that I mentioned here on the program, they are people that I have utilized. Bill Andriak has done AC work at our church. He's done AC work at my home, and he's top notch. And so I encourage you that if you need some AC work, we have a couple of different air conditioning companies that we mention here on the radio program. Either one of them do phenomenal work. Today we are mentioning Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. Write that number down. If you don't have an AC problem right now, you will probably have one sooner or later. Not speaking negative things over your life, just 55 years of experience, I've never known an air conditioner yet that didn't eventually have to have a part replaced or the unit updated for economic reasons. So 759-3284, he can do anything from repair to replace, and he will take good care of you. In fact, one of the listeners not long after we started called him. I was talking to him about it a few weeks ago, I guess, and he said, you know, that AC unit, it's still running. And that was nearly 3 years ago when he had an interaction with that person, and they had been told that they needed a whole new unit at that time. And so, you know, a number of years later, it's still functioning. Let's get into the Word today if we can. Looking forward to this Thursday and all that God has. So, Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. So let's look at this. I want you to see that what God's attitude towards rebellion is. Now, we're all familiar with the scripture, or maybe actually that's an assumption on my part. Maybe you've never heard this before, but rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's what it says in the Old Testament. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. We think that witchcraft is a pretty serious offense. But rebellion rises to that same level in God's eyes. That was what Samuel prophesied to King Saul. I want you to know that rebellion, even, you know, God takes rebellion very seriously, even if it is the highest ruler in the land. In Saul's case, he was the king of Israel, and he had rebelled against the direction of God and had so deceived himself that he argued with the prophet when the prophet spoke by the name of the Lord and said, "Hey, you are rebelling against God's word, and you are rebelling against God." And he was completely oblivious to it. I want you to see that God does not bless rebellion, but he says, woe. Woe is a term of lamentation. It means it's a lamentable condition to be in. It is not something that you are to brag about or boast about, but to repent of. We have all done things that were probably rebellion at one point or another. It is something that we have to repent of, and God in his mercy does give grace to us. You might think rebellion just is in acts of disobedience, but I want to show you from this passage here what God considered to be the source of the rebellion, how that rebellion manifest. And right now we are living in a time of glorified rebellion. Back in the 60s, there was a time that said, you know, people said, never trust anybody over 30. That was a time when they were rebelling against authority. It was a time when they were rebelling against what they considered injustice. And we see that same mindset playing out now in our current day and time. I have a mindset that I apply. I applied it to the previous presidential administration. I apply it to the current administration. And my mindset is this: God, I expect that there are secrets that the government is not going to disclose to me, you know, because of security interest. Now, that can be a buzzword, is, you know, for government officials to say, look, it's none of your business, we don't want to tell you, and so we're going to claim national security interest. If that's the case, that's invalid. But I do believe that there are times when it is in the country's best interest for strategies and implementations not to be fully disclosed. I don't want the enemy to know what my plans of attack are and what my strategies are. One of the reasons that we won World War II was because there was a ruse that was developed where there were a bunch of inflatable military vehicles that were planted so that it appeared from satellite imagery that an attack was going on in one place when in actuality the attack came at a different location. I don't want the enemy knowing all of my plans. And so I say, you know, I pray that they have good, sound intelligence that I don't have. And, you know, that has been proven, at least from the previous administration. Some of the things that people argued with them about, it's actually come out that they, when they said there were weapons of mass destruction, that they actually found them, but yet for some reason publicly denied that they had found them. So anyway, woe to the rebellious children. Listen to what God says was the cause of their rebellion, who take counsel but not of me. Who take counsel but not of me. Listen, God should be first. He should be the first one that we turn to for counsel and wisdom. The best thing that Solomon ever did was when he had the dream where God asked him, what can I give to you? He didn't ask for wealth and he didn't ask for the defeat of his enemies. He asked for wisdom to lead God's people because no man was up for the task. He said, God, I need your wisdom. The Bible makes it very clear that there is heavenly wisdom, and there is also wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And so we need to take counsel of God. I don't know how to communicate this in a manner differently than I have before, but please understand how important the Word of God is. It is a lamp and a light. It gives you and I direction. And so we will see that direction manifest as we get a little further into chapter 30 here. Who take counsel, but not of me. So at first it looks like they're in a position for people to be able to speak into their life, but the people who spoke into their life were disqualified if they were giving godly counsel. Now remember, this is to the people that God had as his chosen people. He goes on and he said, the second thing that they did is they devised plans, but not of my spirit. They devised plans, but not of my spirit. Let me speak to Christians right now and tell you that no matter how technologically advanced we become or how skilled we may be, how gifted we are or numerically empowered we are, we will never advance to the place where we are unreliant on the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. You can go all the way back to Genesis, and it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the darkness and the chaos. No matter what you are facing, you need the Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit always points people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is always summoning people into a deeper relationship with God, a more intimate relationship with God, one where we hear his still small voice. Let me say this. You should have a life strategy. You should have a vision for your life. You should know what God's purpose for you on this planet is. You should be actively involved in your church. All the pastors who might be listening, say amen to that. There, you are not called to be a spectator in the body of Christ. You have a purpose that God had in store for you before the foundation of the world. Know what his plan is for you. Okay, this verse does not mean that you are supposed to just stagger through life aimlessly. You should have a life purpose and know what God's strategy to accomplish that purpose is. He says, their rebellion is twofold. They take counsel, but not of me, and they devise plans, but not of my spirit. Okay, and this is the result. That they may add sin to sin. If you do those two things, if you ignore God's plans, if you ignore his counsel, there is only one result, and that is sin is going to increase in your life. It is going to increase, and the longer that you continue to do that, the increase is going to keep on going. And so a few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a person, and I told them, I said, no matter what you think of this is someone in the community, no matter what you think of the theological counsel that I have shared, through our encounters together, I said, hear what God has to say for your particular circumstance that you are facing. And I went on, and it wasn't something theologically profound. It was something practical that touched them where in what they do, where they're at in their life stage right now. And so I want to encourage you today, don't ignore God's word and his counsel. By the way, when you are praying about something, God will never contradict his word. His counsel will never contradict the written word of God. You need to be familiar with the word of God. You need to surround yourself with godly counselors who are intent on hearing what God has to say. Recently, we had a situation in our home. There was a major opportunity that had come up, and the night before a significant event in this person's life, I was up most of the night, and I was praying to hear what God's voice was saying. There were things that God had spoken to me as I was listening for his direction that ended up being pivotal, of major importance, things that you might think they were just flippant or off the cuff, but because of God's counsel, the person was prepared when those things happened. Don't add sin upon sin. If you have rebelled against God, don't compound that error. Make the corrections and humble yourself and come to God and say, God, their counsel failed. Your counsel will not. I've devised my strategy, and my strategy didn't work. By the way, your approach to prayer should not be to say, God, this is the way that it needs to be done. That's your flesh talking. God does not need your counsel, but we do need his counsel. God doesn't need my counsel, but I do need his. Okay? And say, who walked down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. How arrogant is it for a finite creation to fail to ask the advice of an infinite creator? Recently we were praying for some physical needs that had manifest in our body, and I tell you, I like to pray the word. And so when I'm praying for a situation like that, one of the things that I am doing is as I'm praying, I'm listening in my spirit to anything that might be manifest in the word that would be applicable to that situation. And so when that comes to mind, I say, that's how I'm going to pray for this situation. So don't fail to ask God for his advice. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking down the street and my cell phone rang, and it was a person, brilliant person. And they were asking my advice about a particular situation. And so I told them my advice. But the responsibility to make the ultimate decision still rests upon that person. You can ask advice all you want, but you have to make the ultimate decision. And the best person that you can ask advice from is God. So if you come to me and ask me about a situation, at some point in time in the conversation, we're going to get to this. What does God's word say about it? Do you realize how many people were anointed king while there was a king still in place? David did it for Saul. Jehu was anointed before Ahab. There was a guy by the name of Ben-Hadad that I believe was anointed king while there was still somebody else on the throne in a different country. There were a number of people who were anointed because there was going to be a change in the royalty, specifically in the nation of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. And what you will find is that David was the only one who let God handle the transition. Saul didn't like the fact that his lineage was not going to have the throne after him. What's really amazing about that is Saul determined that he himself was not qualified to be the first king, and was actually hiding at the day of his own coronation. That mindset quickly changed. But David said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. And most everybody else went out and decimated the king that was already in power and destroyed the entire royal lineage. And that's how change in dynasties took place. But David said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. There were opportunities that he had to implement his strategy, his plan, and God stopped him. And so I want to encourage you, ask God for his advice. And they said, you go down to Egypt, and the purpose is to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Okay, if I position myself in my weakness with somebody of limited strength, what I have done is I have just brought their strength down a little bit. I have helped weaken them rather than, I mean, they may have strengthened me incrementally, but that's the only thing. God is the only one who is an almighty God. He's the only one who has unlimited financial resources. He has unlimited ability to save and to heal and to provide. He's the only one that I can go to and find strength or salvation or healing, and it isn't a drain on him, but he has actually strengthened me, and therefore his kingdom is now stronger, even if it's just because he has a vessel to work through. It goes on, and verse number 5, it says, these were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. I want to encourage you to do a little bit of evaluation about yourself and about the people that you are surrounded with. The first thing that I want to ask you is, are they walking in covenant relationship with God? Okay. Because if they are walking in covenant, as a body of Christ, whenever we walk together, we edify one another in our faith. We build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We gain a greater understanding of the grace of God. Whenever the body of Christ fellowships together, we all learn because we all have a testimony that is a unique manifestation of the grace of God. And so we see that drug addicts have been delivered and alcoholics have been delivered and marriages have been restored and health has been restored and people have been redeemed and God has opened up doors and provided employment favor. Those are things that take place. But if we surround ourselves with people who have no vision, no power, All they've got is a rebellious attitude, which is where this began in the first place, then what we are going to do is we are going to find that those people will not be a benefit to us. They will be a liability to us. The scripture says bad company corrupts good character. And so you don't want to be drugged down. You don't want to be saddled and burdened with people who are going to be of no benefit to you. And so one of the things that I'm looking for in my life is, it is a twofold thing. We're going to get to the second part as well. And that is, I am looking for people that I can be of benefit to and can also be of benefit to me. That's the two sides. See, the first part of verse 5 says, they were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them or be help or of benefit. So most of the time when people are looking for a church, they are looking for a church where they are going to have all of their needs be met. They're looking to those people that they make choices like that. They make political decisions. What if we revived the mindset of John F. Kennedy, who said, "Ask not what my country or what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." What if we revived that mindset and said, I'm not looking for a church that can make my life more comfortable, but how can I be of a benefit to that church? Okay. Now, please understand, this is coming from a pastor of a church who doesn't have the largest number of people that come. We, over the course of a year, we have about 140 or 150 different people who come through our doors on a repeated basis. And but never all at one time. If you come, you will probably see anywhere from 50 to 60 on a regular basis, sometimes less, sometimes more. You will see us in that range. But my goal every Sunday is to, when people walk through the door, that they will not just hear a word from God, but they will hear the word from God for them in this time and the season that they are walking in. It is also my goal not only to benefit them, but also that they will be of a benefit to somebody else. And so we're challenging our people, and I'm hopefully going to share some things in the days to come, some exciting things, because we're not looking for people who will benefit Merit Assembly of God. We are looking for Merit Assembly of God to be a blessing. So through the years that we've been at Merit Assembly of God, we have hosted some civic meetings. Now that the government has regulations have changed, we don't get to do that quite as much anymore. But we have blessed our county. We have blessed the businesses around us. We want to be of benefit. People say, all the church is after our money and our resources. I want you to know that's not true. That's not true. We are looking to equip people with a heart of obedience, one that will recognize the value of God's word, who will value the opportunity to hear what God's plan for their life is, who will allow God to strengthen them and know that it's not man that strengthens them, and just like it says here in Isaiah 30, will be benefited and be a benefit. Be a benefit to those that you work with today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.